Nice to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be alive. Good to serve the Lord. I wouldn't want to be alive at any other moment than right now. This is the day the Lord has made to serve Him. I would just say a little word. Thanks, Alvin. A little word just regarding the next 3 weeks. Try to clear your schedule as much as possible. Don't make extra appointments. If it's not necessary, eliminate it. Some things you can't get out of because of expectations, but I would cancel most of your social engagements and clear your calendar so you can create some space for the Lord to move in. Another thing I'd just say, the reason for the fasting is prayer. Unless you're just trying to lose weight, that's another purpose. But what we're saying is when we are calling you to a fast, we're calling you to pray while that's going on. That's the point of it, right? It's that you're going to be praying, and to take it another level, you're going to fast. But give yourself to prayer while you're fasting. And even while you may be laying on the floor over here or just kneeling somewhere and you're feeling kind of, you know, your stomach's got a little, you wish you had some food instead of prayer. But then you'll just be reminded that, oh, I am here to pray. While I'm here, I'm hungry in my stomach, and here I am hungry for the Lord. And somehow there's something wonderful about it. I don't know what it is, but prayer coupled with fasting. Prayer is valuable in itself. Fasting is valuable in itself. But prayer and fasting is the secret weapon. It's what we roll out at this moment. We've got no more powerful weapons in our arsenal than this one right here. And in other words, if this doesn't do it, nothing can do it. And every time Israel was under attack, when every time there was some danger, what was the first thing that would happen? They would call them to prayer and fasting. Why? Because they needed that power that comes with it. Even through our ultimate weaknesses, we're feeling somewhat weak and a little buzzed maybe, but oh, the strength that comes from that is quite remarkable. So clear your calendar as much as you possibly can. We don't know, and again, I heard a speaker in our church here on Tuesday at the pastor's, at St. Simon's gathering actually, but we were the venue, and he said that all over the world, wherever he's been, there is an emphasis that 2011 is the preparation time. It's the call around the world that the church is being readied for what's going to happen right after that. And so I have a sense of that too. Isn't that funny? How even we felt the urgency to call 3 weeks of prayer. Why? It's 2011 and we just have a sense about it. There's this window of opportunity that may close. It may be different altogether after that. But we want to know what God's up to. We want to be on His side. We want to get His thoughts and His everything. We want it to be about the Lord. Lord, show us what we're supposed to be doing. We want to flow in this thing. We don't want to hinder it. We don't want to be chasing it. Right? We want to be in it. And so don't hear my voice with some urgency here. Don't three quarters of the way in think you might jump on board. Get in now. Let the Lord prepare you. And what better preparation for 20? I mean, regardless of what 2011 or 2012 holds, regardless of any of that, this is now. We're in the now, and we'll seek the Lord and pray. And then later we can always say, you know, we did all that we knew. We just sought the Lord. It's all we knew. We didn't have any insight other. We just sought the Lord, knowing that that would please Him and that He would direct us in all the right ways. So, well, it's going to be quite a time. I have great expectations, and again, that is the only way to go into it. I'm expecting God to do something. Why would we do it otherwise? But I'm expecting God to arise. I'm expecting God to bring strongholds, to topple strongholds. I'm expecting God, as Carl and I were talking about, I'm expecting God to bring breakthroughs. He is the God of breakthrough, is He not? When God breaks through, whether it's that problem or this situation or that relationship or that unsaved person or that addiction or that pornography problem or that weight problem, whatever it would be, He's the God of breakthrough. And that's what we're praying. It may not be just in week one or week two, although I suspect momentum will build as it goes on. But I suspect that the third week will be the real, that's the where that will focus. As we see it counting down, oh, I've only got a week now. I'm going to press in deeper with the Lord in this time. And so we're in for great, great times ahead. And then I'm suspecting that in the weeks after that, in the months after that, we will see the fruit of that. That many, many prayers, hundreds of prayers offered up over that three years. Yeah, extended it, forgot to tell you. Extended it a little longer. 3 years of fasting and praying. You're going to be very thin. 3 weeks of imagine, at 6 in the morning, at 7 in the morning, throughout the day, people coming and finding a little spot and seeking the Lord. And those prayers, hundreds of prayers, hundreds of prayers going up. Agonizing prayers out of thirst and out of hunger, out of deliberation, out of availing yourself, laying on the carpet, just waiting on God, asking Him to do that which maybe you've never ever fasted for this thing before, but now will be the time. So I just say, get ready, begin, expect. You will get precisely out of this what you put in. Let me just pick on me. Whatever I'm expecting is what I get. The law of the Spirit says that you can only get what you expect, right? You only get what you see. And so as the anticipation, as the expectation, I'm expecting something. And I will be very disappointed, but I don't think I will be. I don't think I'll be disappointed at all. Why? Because no one, God doesn't tease people. He doesn't, when He calls you to pray, when you feel a call in your heart to pray, He doesn't tease you with it and torment you. Here, I'm just going to give you that desire, but no, nothing's going to come out of it. No, I see, that's, you see, why we're praying. We're not praying because we need the practice. We're praying because we're expecting God to do something. That's the point. We're not meditating. We're not just doing listening prayer so we can say we did that or did this or did that. We're doing all of that so we can say, I can hear God's voice. I can hear. I get a sense of now what I'm supposed to do. Now I've got the direction that I was praying about. So, turn with me if you would this morning. That was just the introduction. George Potter told me that he was at a funeral recently, and the funeral was so short. He said you would have barely got started, and the funeral was over. It was a really, really short funeral. I said, well, you don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about that. This won't be one of them. But I do want to talk to you this morning on creating. It flows in well. I want to talk to you about creating spaces for God to move. Creating spaces for God to move. And Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts, this is the Lord speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Boy, remember that. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. God's got higher ways and higher thoughts. And I kind of get that. We're going to learn God's ways in the weeks ahead. We're going to learn God's thoughts in the next 3 weeks for our awakening season. This is an awakening to Valley Church. And 21 days of prayer and fasting. But in order to get God's thoughts and God's ways, we want our meditations to be acceptable in His sight. We want our hearts to be pure. We're calling for a greater humility in our church. And a greater humility in the leadership. And a greater humility in the church. Just a humbleness before the Lord. A dependency on Him. And I think God will honor that. So a greater humility and a greater usefulness to God. That somehow, so far, just by regular prayer and regular devotions, it hasn't brought us to that place where we really felt we were going to enter into something. All of my devotional time is valid, and all of your time is valid, but I do know this cranks it up to another level. This is what it cranks just to a whole another level, actually. So I would say to you this morning, think about an area of your life where you want God to do something new. He's the God of newness, isn't he? He said, behold, I do a new thing in the earth. New creation. New days. That's what he does. So you may be just thinking of, just say, I just need some freshness in my life. I need some renewal in my life. And all of us do. It's like a retreat. We're really going on a 3-week retreat. And this will become kind of Grand Central for much of that. It won't be the only time. Some of you won't be able to come because you've got duties at home or duties at work, or you just can't be at some of the gatherings, but you can pray at home. So this is not just this place. There's other places you can pray, of course. Or maybe you're hoping for the Lord's strength and the Lord's guidance with a certain problem that you're facing, and it's just been stonewalled. It's just that just has ground to a halt, and there's no movement on it. And so this is what this prayer will be, as you're going to get God's thoughts and God's ways as to how to solve that problem. Okay, that's what you'll be doing. How do I solve the problem that I'm facing? How do I get this to happen? What do we need to do? Lord, I'm just before you, trusting you to speak to me. So you may know it's God's nature to create new things, and that the Lord has the answers to meet all of life's challenges. You may know that. But I would like to ask you a question this morning. It's a simple message in many ways. But let me ask you this question. Have you created the space in your life for God to fill? By the way, you came here this morning. You can expect something from this morning. Why? Because you created a space. There are people, now they may come in the second service, because usually there's more in the second than the first service. But what always troubles me about people who miss church is this. You didn't create a space. There's no spaces for God. You left no space for God to move in your life. Right? On a Sunday morning, you need to be in church on Sunday morning. Why? To create a space for God to move in your life. You're saying to God, God, I'm here. And I'm here for a reason at church. I want you to move in my life. And so here I am. You can't create a space laying in bed. Can you? No, you're not going to hear anything. You're not going to get anything. God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I will. I will draw near to you. But he's not going to draw near when we haven't created a space for him. Now I'm talking to the wrong group because you're here. But those other people. But I marvel at this, don't you? Because I see that. If I show up, if I make the effort of getting out of bed, God always blesses me. Well, I get, if I don't show up, there's other problems. There will be meetings. But other than myself, you see, you create a space when you come on a Sunday morning. And that's what we're trying to do. Ask the question, have you created a space in your life for God to fill? For as much as God wants to do something amazing in your life, right? Because he does. He wants to do something amazing in your life and my life. And out of that, as we expect something to happen, to realize this, that God is a filler and not a forcer. God is a filler and not a forcer. He will not force you. You can stay right where you are. You can stay exactly where you are. But if that's uncomfortable, if they say, I need more in my life and in my heart. See, we see this principle in sports, that there's always a key player, right? There's all, and if it's in football, there's a key, there's a star, marquee player. He's the best, the fastest, the quickest. Might be a hockey player, could be a football, whatever sport it is. And you know the whole point of the game. And it's just an amazing thing how you see it so often. The coach is always wanting to set up a play for the star athlete. Why? For him to make the big play. There's a plan, right? There's a plan to that. And they simply have to create the space to get the ball to him, to get the puck to him, to get the, you know, if it's basketball, to get the ball to him. Why? To make the big play. And to score, get that puck, get that football to the right person. See, these are space-making plays. And the coach knows that if he can just get the athlete, the star athlete, into the open space, a big play is possible. Huge play. So everything is set up to get the ball, to hand the ball off, because everybody knows that if he gets his hands on that ball, he's going to score. Right? Isn't that what all the excitement is? Keep the puck away from that guy. Oh, he's got the puck. Oh, no, he was going to. Yes, scored. Yes, of course. Everything is set up for the big play. And here we are. We, too, are looking for space-making spots. This is very similar in our relationship with the Lord. God is saying to you, he's saying this to you, in the next few weeks, just create a little space for me and I will come and fill it. Create some space in your life. You can't just be driving in your car and at my little prayer time, well, I got 12 minutes till I get to work. And now the Lord just guide me, direct me. That's not much of a space. Create a space. And so that creating, it's for the big play. That we're in test. When you come down here and pray, whether you're praying at 6 o'clock in the morning or whether you're praying at 8 o'clock at night, or whether you drop in, or maybe you're at home beside your bed, that part isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is that you're aware that you've got to get to hand the ball off to God, because he's going to make the big play. You've got to pass the puck to the Lord and say, God, do this in my marriage. Do this in my heart. Do this in my church. Lord, work in my heart all the things. I don't know, Lord, I know it seems that all my life seems that people said I had a lot of potential, and yet haven't seen all that much happen. And Lord, I often sense there's probably more that you want to do in my life. I just don't know how to get there. But here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to meet with you like I've never, ever met with you before. I'm going to leave you space in my life for you to talk to me and cause me to repent and cause me to turn to you. And I'm going to pour my heart. I'm going to weep before you, Lord. I'm going to cry before you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to even go without food on certain days, or maybe some will probably even fast longer. Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go without some delicacy. I'm going to shut the television off. I'm going to shut my computer off. I'm going to shut the newspaper off. I need to hear from heaven. And I'm going to create some space for the really big play. And I say, oh, wow, that's great. That's great. So Jesus gives us, as I think he does anyway, it comes together there, three space makers. And it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4. Then it's found, the second one is found in verse 6, and then verse 17 and verse 18 of Matthew 6. It's very, very simple. Jesus first talked about giving, then he talked about prayer, and finally he talked about fasting. Let me read that from Matthew 6. But when you give to the needy, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Remember that little word, secret. May be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Second one. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now drop down to verse 6. When you pray, first of all, is when you give. Secondly, when you pray. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And I'll just pause here. Boy, in the next 3 weeks, there will be so much of this. Just somebody up there in the balcony, or maybe somebody downstairs, and just softly praying before the Lord, pouring out their heart, asking God for impossible things that have never happened before. But it's in secret. It's in secret. And when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, then he changes that. Then verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy. We just remember that when we're fasting? Don't deliberately try to look gloomy. Like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. But I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen by others, or not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He will reward you. So, Jesus didn't say, if you give, and if you pray, and if you fast. No, he just said, when you do that. Well, this is what we're going to be doing. And he assures us that there'd be moments in our life when this would happen. We'd be praying, we'd be fasting, and we'd be giving. And so these are spaces in our lives for God to fill. So in each one of these, you notice what it was that Jesus, the passage of Scripture, Matthew 6, Jesus refers to them as the secret place. Giving in secret. Praying, secret. Fasting, in secret. And you can get an idea of this in the secret place, the day of Pentecost. What did Jesus say? Listen, the big play is about to happen. Get to the upper room. Don't leave Jerusalem yet until you've been endued with power. So get to the upper room and pray for, and of course it was 10 days. And go to that room, create a space where something unusual will happen. Boy, what was more unusual than that, eh? There we were, just creating a space, praying. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, they were praying, fellowshipping, waiting on God. And all of a sudden, there's a flame over their heads, and they're speaking in tongues, and the place was shaken. It was unbelievable. Now, what did they do? How did they make that happen? They just showed up. They just created a space. Just go. See, in other words, God always works. He doesn't just work. He works through channels. So we build the channels by his direction, and we get an idea about what we should do. And, of course, we create a space where something could happen. And I believe it will happen. That's the good thing about it. So when we give, when we pray, and when we fast, we are then intentional about creating a space for this thing to occur. And so I would say, don't try to figure everything out. Just create some space for God to work in your life. Because remember, God is the filler, not the forcer. It will not happen unless you create it. He doesn't force it. Kind of wish, well, he's going to force us to it. No, he's not going to. It's you that says, Lord, I've created a space for you to fill. And it's pretty powerful. Now, when you give to God, you create a space for him to move in your finances. There are people here, you've been having really serious financial problems. This is a chance for you to come before the Lord regarding your finances. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You're not truly converted until you've given God your wallet. I can remember when I got saved. I remember when I was baptized in the Spirit. I remember when I got baptized in water. But I also remember a time when I was conscious. I kind of thought that it was my money. You know, that this was my money to look after. And I have to be very careful with it because it's my money. And I felt the Lord say, I thought that was my money. And I can remember, I don't think I actually took, well, I might have even taken my wallet right out of my back pocket and laid it down and say, I want you to know that you have my finances too. I want this thing to be so right in your sight. And I wrote this as a little aside, i.e., if you give God 10% of your earnings, you have created a 10% hole or a 10% space in your financial portfolio. Now you say, well, that's not very much. You say, that's not very much. Well, it is when God fills it. Right? Richard's nodding because he knows this to be taught on this. It's true. It doesn't seem much, but it is when God fills it. When God fills, he also multiplies. In John chapter 6, 1-4, about the loaves and the fishes. It wasn't much, right? Just take the loaves, take the fishes, create something for God to do. Give it to God. And God begins to move, and this great miracle happens. So when God fails, he also multiplies. And there was hundreds of fishes and hundreds of loaves available. So when you give to God and you create space, He makes what you have left even further. What I'm saying is this. I'm trying to make a point. Say, what in the world has this got to do with fasting and prayer? A lot. We can always tell this. Oh, no, by the way, we had an annual meeting, and it's looking good. So don't worry. I'm not saying this because we're short on funds. One of our best years ever. All right, so I'm not just saying, no, I'm just working this in to kind of get an, take an offering up at the end. Oh, there's an idea. We just know this. You can tell a lot about the health of a congregation by the patterns of giving. Right? There's just something about people saying, God, I make you Lord of my finances. It's closer to your heart than you think. Right? To be able to surrender to God. And what I'm saying is, as you are surrendering to the Lord and you're waiting for financial breakthroughs and situations with your, you know, you say, I don't know what's going to happen about this or about that. You might even, I find that you might be laying just before the Lord and you'll just figure, I think I'm going to give something to somebody. By the way, I remember we had a speaker here one time and we gave the honorarium to him and he said, do you mind if I just sign this on the back and give it back to you? No, that's what you want to do. Why would you do that? We're giving it to you. Yeah, I know. But he said, I'm sowing towards a much greater need in my life. And I want to give God some space to work here. He gets that. You see? He gets the meaning that he's saying, I need way, 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 way more than this little amount that you've given me, my honorarium. But I'm sowing towards it so God can really work. So God can really, really work. It may be that you're praying before the Lord and you're just surrendering your life, your heart, your whole being, your family, yourself, your finances, saying, Lord, I just surrender our finances to you. And as you're waiting on the Lord, it might just be that you're supposed to go to say, I'm going to sow towards a need. I'm going to give something. Why? Because I know that if I do that, I'm just, again, creating a space for God to fill. And I know Val and I found this, that, you know, once we understand God's economy, that we wouldn't think of not tithing. We couldn't think of it. Why? It would just be too scary. Because the 90 that you have left is greater than the 100. It's just like it's miraculous that somehow when you do that, it's a form of living by faith, I guess, is it just creates a space for the Lord. Knowing that He's a filler and not a forcer. This is, again, you don't have to do anything. Oh, I have to do that. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything here. Unless you want to create a space for God. And that's what we want to do. So, God's a filler and not a forcer. You do what you can. And God will show up in ways that will blow your mind. Right? The Lord may just lay, in this area of finance, the Lord may just lay somebody on your heart and just say, I'm just thinking about this missionary. I was thinking about that. I think on this fast, I really got my priorities right. But how I spend my money, how much I give to the work of the Lord, knowing that the whole economy may change in the next few years. I mean, you just don't know, right? It's uncertain. So I got to make sure that my finances are Christ-centered. That I've got my priorities right. That I understand how to give, knowing that God will always, 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 no matter whatever little shovel I give Him, it will always be bigger. And He just promised to look after us. So it will blow our minds, I'm sure. So number one, when you give. So he said, don't make a big deal about this, just as before the Lord. But be open and lay your wallet before the Lord. Say, I wonder if I'm supposed to be doing something here in order to release even other blessings in my own life. All right. Number two, when you pray. This is what Jesus said. He's speaking to the same moment to the crowd. When you pray. Well, we know from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he said that he's able to provide abundantly above all that we ask and even what we think God is able to do. When you pray. James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So create a space for God to fill in prayer, and God will multiply something in your life. Awesome things happen when you pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So what is my prayer? I'm going to make some room for the Holy Spirit to work in my life. We're praying more than we will normally pray. When the fast ends, by the way, the fast ends with a barbecue in the parking lot. You've got to love a church like that, don't you? Not with, so try not to trample anybody in the process when you leave the building. Four killed in Exodus to finish the fast. but you get the idea. We're going to be praying lots of prayers, lots of if there's just one or two people, maybe we'll just pray together. Well, I don't know what we'll do. Maybe you want to pray alone. Whatever you do that. But when we pray, make a note of it, of the appointments that you're going to make with the Lord so that you can give yourself, so that when you come down to the, so those that are able to come down to the church, when you come down to the church, you'll know that I'm coming to pray. And you may have coupled that with a fast, which we encourage. So now you're praying and fasting. You've cut out some things. You've cut out your music. You've cut out, I would think, be really, so you can, but the point of it is not just to cut it out. Cutting out this. Cut it out in order to pray, to give yourself to more prayer. You'll be amazed when you decide you're not going to eat in that meal, how much time you actually have. How long it takes to make food, right? It takes time to make food. And then you're not going to make food because you're not going to have anything to eat except drinking some juice. You'll be down here saying, wow, do I ever have a lot of time? I got a whole hour that I'm going to have to fill here with prayer. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So when you pray, create a space for God to fill. In other words, you can expect, it's like coming to church. You come to church, God can move in your life, even as he's talking to you this morning, even already. So can imagine if you have 3 weeks of it. And then we're not always going to be doing this. 3 weeks later, it's over. Now we're back to normal. Maybe a couple of years from now or another time, we may do it again. But this is an open window because we feel led. And we're going to pray. I suspect more prayer will go up in the next 3 weeks than in probably the last 3 years. And there's been lots of prayer gone up. We're just trusting God, that God will lay it on our hearts. And it's okay, by the way, to confess it. Lord, I am prayerless and careless. I am not a man of prayer. I am not a woman of prayer. But God, I want you to change that. I want to surrender myself to you completely, as much as, and pray and commit. So there will be several needs. There will be probably a couple of needs for yourself that are just on your heart. They're burdens to you. And you'll pray. There might be another one for the church. And I hope there is. I hope there's massive prayers for the church where people are just lifting up the name of Jesus and praying for the leadership and praying for this to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-induced church, right? That's what we want. And then I hope that there's prayers for the community, that the Lord would save people, right? That we would, how to be more effective, like, you know, in this community. Lord, make our church more effective. So there's something for yourself, something for the body of Jesus, and then something for people who don't know the Lord. Again, we're expecting great things. So number one, when you give. Number two, when you pray. Now, number three, when you fast. Jesus, in Luke 4:42, said he went out to a desolate place, a deserted place. I think the secret here is to get alone with God with a hungry stomach. That's get alone with God with a hungry stomach. We're going to be praying for you that you won't be afraid to fast. It's kind of one of those things. Even though it's one of the greatest disciplines in the history of the church, the average church has never had a fast in their history. I mean, their whole time of many churches. See, that's, it's kind of for those really spiritual people, always fasting and praying, right? Or it's just when, so I say, Lord, just deliver everybody. It's not nothing wrong with having a hungry stomach and drinking lots of water to keep yourself hydrated, but to meet alone with God. You may not, it may not see that, it may seem that very much is happening when you're fasting, right? You may have a job, for example, where you need to be taking at least some vegetables or some fruit or some juice or something because you don't want to get dehydrated and be so dizzy you can't perform your duties. But having said that, I remember the last major fast we had, it was a 10-day fast. And amazing how many people joined us for that time. It was a very good, excellent, excellent time. So how would it be if we could give a day or a week to fast, or 3 weeks, and create space for God to move in dramatic ways? I'm saying dramatic. I'm not just using hyperbole here. I really believe this. Wherever people have sought the Lord an extended period of time, there's dramatic breakthroughs. See, this isn't just us all praising the Lord as we used to say, anybody can get a leg in the air. This is before God pouring out our hearts and praying and praying and praying. The lights are on. At night we're still praying. Noon hour, somebody's praying. Afternoon, somebody's praying. We're praying prayers, strong prayers, and expecting God to move in dramatic ways in your life. In your life. In your life. That's the power of it. This will be, Marcel, what is the back line of that book? Read it out, what this kind of year this will be.
This will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually.
Yeah, this will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. Wow. So here we are, giving ourselves to prayer. Crazy, eh? Who in their right mind thinks this is anything? What are we, ascetics? Are we, are we going to be wearing sackcloth? Well, spiritually speaking, maybe we will be. But I know that there will be people who come, and they will come with pornography problems. And this is the most excellent thing you will. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody in my life that didn't overcome pornography except by fasting. Maybe there's another plan that you heard, but I haven't. There's something about fasting to break that situation. So somebody will come with pornography, bondage. Somebody will come with some addictions. Some will come with strongholds in their life. Various kinds of things. And they're seeking a greater humility and seeking a greater usefulness in their ministry for the Lord by fasting. Right? By missing some comforts. You know, for me not to turn on the television in 3 weeks, for me, holy moly, how am I going to do that? I want to go watch television now. Excuse me, I'll be back. Catch a few broadcasts, pick up the sports scores. Wow. Right? But God's a filler, not a forcer. But to go without some comforts for a greater purpose. You may not sense it while you're praying. Stomach's kind of growling, you're a little seeing visions of the Virgin Mary first day. By the third day, most of the hunger pangs are gone. It just doesn't really matter much after that. It's funny how that is. First 3 days are some little bit discomfort, especially if it's a pretty solid fast. So prayer coupled with fasting is a powerful combination. It's really powerful. This is the hour we're called to. Drastic times call for drastic means. We're taking God very, very, very seriously. We're going to bang on heaven's doors hour after hour. I'd like to think that there'd be somebody praying. Those of you that don't sleep well, you may slip out of bed, give yourself to some prayer. Some will get up early, some will stay up late, but they'll be praying. And again, what are we doing? We're giving because we're surrendering our wallets and everything to do with us. We're praying and we're fasting to create a space for God. You can expect, read the bulletin cover. Don't read it now, but read it. Because there will be opposition. Val and I will have to pray for each other so we don't argue. Well, we don't argue usually, but I know how this works, where the enemy just puts an irritation in her mind about me. Not that that would be that hard, right? But he'll put some irritation in my, and all of a sudden there's a, what is this? We're fasting, we're praying and fasting, and here we are snapping at each other. So we pray for each other. Why? To protect each other. Right? To pray prayers of protection over the church as we advance on our knees. Again, the devil doesn't mind Bible studies. He'll even encourage them. But what he fears, what will cause him to slink away is prayer. It's just a powerful thing. So I'd like you to stand with me, if you would. And I'm going to ask Marcel to come. And I'm going to get him to pray a prayer. He was sitting here listening. If you heard nothing else, you're going to go out of there and somebody says, what's up for Sunday? Say, creating spaces for the big play. I get that, you know. I you see how that works. The star player. Well, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And I'm going to ask Marcel if he would just pray over all of us that we will just run with this. Say, this is what God's doing in our church. He's calling us to pray. The fact that you may not be in the mood of prayer, you say, I don't really feel that, you know, that much about prayer. I guess, yeah, I guess so. You guys are all pretty excited about it. Just tell the Lord that. Say, God, the way the enemy's working in my life, I just don't really have an appetite for prayer. I just can't get too excited about this. Maybe I come down and see if anybody shows up. No. Just say, Lord, would you put a spirit of prayer on my heart? Will you do that? Will you do that? And we've asked a few people to be prayer people here this morning just to pray. If you'd like to have anybody pray with you, come on up. And this is the new prayer area right here in the services. And there will be several people here in the next few minutes that will pray with you. You say, I'm going to get some prayer on this. I want to create spaces in my life for God. But I don't know where to start. Well, this will be the time. It's going to be great. Great expectations for great breakthroughs. So Marcel, would you lead us? Good, you got a microphone. And let's just unite our hearts together. We're on the verge of praying. Now, I know it'll be difficult. There'll be some difficult days and long days. We'll say, whose idea was this? What were we thinking? Then we'll say, wouldn't you want to be part of a church that calls itself to prayer and fasting because of our spiritual condition? We're not an on-fire church. I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you. We're not an on-fire church, but God wants us to be. And he says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just create a space for me. I'll make you an on-fire church. Just create a space for me. So lead us, Marcel, if you would. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, this morning we just declare who you are, God. You are a great God. You are a mighty God. Lord, you are the Savior of our souls. Father, you were the one that saw us in our miry clay, and you were the one that reached down and plucked us out, Lord Jesus, and put our feet on the rock. God, you are awesome. You are merciful, Lord Jesus. You are loving. Oh, God, there is none like you, God. There is none like you, Father. And Father, this morning we just confess our need for you. We confess our inability. We confess our inadequacy. Lord, we confess our need for a Savior. We confess, Lord Jesus, that we can't do this on our own, God. And Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, God. And Father, we want to come not just saying, God, maybe you could do this but we want to come expecting, Lord Jesus. Yes. Lord, we want to be a church that's expecting, God, you to do great things. Not just maybe, but God, we come to you and say, God, we believe you're going to do some great things in this next 3 weeks, in these 21 days, as we set these 21 days aside to seek you, to seek your face, Lord Jesus. We just believe, God, that you're going to do amazing things, Father. You're going to do things that we couldn't even begin to even dream now, Lord Jesus. Father, you're going to set people free. God, you're going to heal people, yes. Lord Jesus. People yes. are going to come to know Hallelujah. You as their Savior, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we don't say this morning, this might happen. We believe you're going to do these things, God. And so we come in expectation. We come in faith. And Lord, if there are people here that are kind of afraid, you know, this 21-day thing, that's a long time. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, you didn't give us a spirit of fear. You gave us one of a sound mind. And so, Lord, we just put that fear aside, and we just say we're going to step out in faith. And the things that you call us to do, we're going to step out in faith. As those Israelites walked into the Jordan, they got their feet a little wet. But then you parted it, and you showed up in a big way. And so, God, we're just going to step out in faith as you call this church to these 21 days of fair, of fasting and prayer. God, be honored here at Lynn Valley Church.
Yeah.
Be honored. Be lifted up at Lynn Valley Full Gospel
Amen.
Church.
Oh, come, Spirit of God. Thank you.
And as Pastor Thank Owen said, we're not on fire. We're not an on-fire church. But we're not an on-fire church yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not an on-fire church yet, God. You're not finished with us. You're going to do some great things, God. So may we just make this time a time of expectation as we create this space, Lord, that you would work and you would move in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to get Christina just to play softly, if she would. Every Sunday from here on in, we're going to have people at the front here to pray. I don't know why we haven't before, but so regardless of whether the message is on the second coming or whether it's on prayer, if you're here today and you have a need, you have a physical need, a financial need, you need God's people to pray with you. I know we're going to be praying as a church, but I mean today. There are people right here who are now, well, we'll pray for you. And you just have to show up. Just walk over there and just create a space, as it were, and just show up over there. And they'll pray for you. We're going to slip out. This will be some of us just for the fellowship place. But this is where ministry will take place. And if you just need someone to pray with you, to agree with you in prayer, just have a situation that's maybe come up this last little while, and you'd like someone to pray with you, just please avail yourself. They'll just see you here, and they'll ask you what they can pray about. And I think it's a great thing. So the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, guide you, direct you, and to just prepare your heart for your heart will be prepared and your mind will be blown. Right? Your mind, you'll just be blown away by where God did something greater than what you thought it would be. A greater financial breakthrough, a greater relationship thing. You just couldn't believe it that it happened. And we say, to God be the glory for all that he will do. We can't even, manufacture this thing. We can't hype it up. We can't do anything. He just says, don't even try to hype it up. Just create a space. And I will do it. So, Lord, thank you. Amen. God bless you.